All right, kids. Clyde so graciously has said that he would do Heritage Heroes tonight. And so you are dismissed to go upstairs. I never get to be down here when they go up just to hear it. Man, that's something, isn't it? Oof. Poor Brother Clyde. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. And Isaiah chapter 25. Tonight's going to be a little bit of a different service. Renee got mad at me, said I've been stomping on her feet too much. So tonight's going to be a feel-good message. Isaiah, just kidding. No, I'm going to go back and stomp on her toes right now. Isaiah chapter 25, and just one verse. It says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee, and I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We'll read that one more time. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee and I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. The counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And tonight I just want to talk about praising God. And so I want you to think of something. I know this is asking a bit much, okay? Because this is going to be a little bit of participation tonight, okay? But I want you to think of something that you can praise God about tonight. And it's not the fact that the kids are not in the auditorium and you get 5 minutes or... by the way, Jason, I've got 40 minutes. Is that good enough? Can I go 40 in a 40? Is that all right? Did you see that? Where he had somebody coming up, the little deal on Facebook, where he said, what was it? Somebody came up. How did it say? Do you remember? Something about there's an officer that was writing the pastor a ticket and said that he was preaching like 45 in a 25-minute zone or something like that. So, but hey, for us, Montana, it was reasonable and prudent for a long time. Yeah, as far as our speed limit, and so it's whatever I feel is good. And if you're really nice and actually have something to say, maybe it won't be 40 minutes tonight. It might be 45. We'll see. But I want you to think about it, though. And I know a lot of times when we get into, you know, the passing of the microphone, we get the same things. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to praise God for our salvation and for our family. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. Okay? But let's just go ahead and do a blanketed praise God that we are all thankful for our salvation. We are thankful for our families. We are thankful for our church that we get to come to. I want you to think of something deeper than that. Something that's strong, that you can hold on to, that you can really look and say, boy, God sure is good to me because this. Because He is worthy to be praised. And there are a lot of times that when we get into the concept of prayer and we get into the idea of our time with God, there's a lot of times when all we do is we go straight into asking mode. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are lots of books that are written about prayer, and one of them is a book that says prayer is asking. And it's true. Prayer is asking. But it's only a part of prayer. I don't know about you, but I've got kids, and one of the most irritating things is when my son ask nonstop for something. How many have had a kid like that? They just will not stop. No? I guess I'm the lone. that my brother and my sister. That's they. You know. But they just won't stop. And there's a biblical principle to that, that we can apply that, where God talks about how there's a lady that went to the judge and came back and time and time and time and time again for her son. And finally the judge said, okay, I'll give it to you. And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, now leave me alone. Or the man that went to his neighbor because he had somebody that traveled in and he needed bread and he was waking up the entire house at midnight. And he said, leave me alone. My family's asleep. And he gave it to him because he would not stop. And so there's a biblical principle when we go to God in prayer like that. But if that's all it is, that's a pretty rough relationship. When my kid continually does it day after day, Marcus, he's been saving up money because he wanted to go get this Lego box from Walmart. And as soon as he got it, he got that amount. He'd been doing stuff at my mom's house, and they've been giving him money. He does stuff at my house, and we just tell him thank you. But he goes over there, and they give him money for, mowing the lawn, or actually, he doesn't mow it over there. He mows it at our house, so, and that's his chore. He goes over to my mom's, and he'll pick up dog mess or whatnot, and they'll reward him for it. That's fine. He's working, and he's been saving. And he's been wanting to get this. The second that he got it, then it became, Dad, can we go to Walmart? Dad, are we going to Walmart today? I've got my wallet with me and I got my money. Can we go to Walmart so I can get this? And then the next day, are we going to Walmart? When are we going to Walmart again? It's like he thinks we live there or something, And there are times, though, if he doesn't do it right, that it can get under our skin. And it's like, well, you ask one more time, and we'll never go back to Walmart, or you'll never go with your wallet to get that, and you'll be out of luck. But when we talk with God, when you look over in the model prayer, Jesus said, in this manner, the very first thing he says is, hallowed be thy name. Where he says, we need to praise God. That's basically what he's saying. We need to spend some time praising God. I love the book of Psalms and when you get into it and how they're constantly praising God. If you look over in Psalm 150, I have a new Bible, so some of these pages get a little tough. But for you, it's before. Go look in the book of hesitations.
I'm there.
Okay. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you look at Psalm 146, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. And when you look at verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Verse 20, he hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye all him, all ye his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens and of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And you go on and continue reading. And verse 14, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. I think God wants us to praise him. But it is extremely easy for us to get consumed with ourselves and with our needs and with our lives and what's going on, because it's important to us. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for our needs, because we should. But how much time do we really spend praising God? Whenever there's been times where, you know, somebody will say, all right, let's have a little bit of time of praising God, and let's go around and who wants to praise God, and everybody sits on their hands. I don't know if it's because they're afraid of public speaking, or if we're too busy thinking about what's going on in our lives that we have a hard time thinking of where we should praise God at. But we need to praise God more. We need to do it the right way. We need to do it in the right manner, the right attitude. I'm not saying that we should just be all crazy like some Pentecostals and just run around with like a chicken with its head cut off and wait until we run into a wall and fall down and have a concussion. But we should praise God, because he's a good God. He's good to us. He is great. And as we read on throughout the Bible, we see all the things of how God has taken care of us. And if we think about God and who he is, number one, I think of God being a personal God. When you read Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou art my God. He's mine. He's my personal God. I get to go to God in my prayer. He's mine. Philippians 4:19, we know it. It says, but my God shall supply all your need. What was Paul doing? He was saying, hey, my God, my personal God, the God that I serve, the God that I go out talking about to everybody else, he's the one that's going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God. He's a personal God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is where it talks about where we're adopted into the family of God. And it talks about where we cry, Abba, Father. He's mine. Abba is a term of endearment. Everybody calls their dad something different. I call my dad Pa. My boys call him Pa Pa. He's not my Pa, or he's my Pa, but not there, so they get to double it, since, you know, he's twice as old as me, and so, Pa, Pa, you know, but I call him Pa. My kids call me Daddy. Some people call him Dad, They'll call their father dad. Some have other names that they'll call. But it's a term of endearment. And that's what that word Abba means. It means it's something special. It's not just a father. It's not just, there are some people that back in the days of the Revolutionary War and such, there was a big sweeping movement that came through that they believed that God created the world and then he took his hands off of it and just backed away. And didn't interact with people. It just let it go on its own. How sad is that? But he's not. He interacts. He's personable. And so he is my God. He not only is he not a personal God, he's also a powerful God. My God is a powerful God. As we read, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou hast done wonderful things. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He's a powerful God. We live in a great state. Some people may not think that way because we don't have all of the luxurious things that are at our fingertips like some other places might. But I love the state of Montana. It's a beautiful state as long as you're on the western side of the state. There's some spots that, you know, we'd like to claim as more North Dakota than Montana. But we have a beautiful state. The Big Sky. You go up to Glacier and you see the beauty of it. It is amazing what God did. I love going down to camp. My wife and I, every year we go down to camp, we put the kids to bed, and then we sneak off down to that field. We'll put out a blanket and we'll just sit and watch the stars. It is incredible. Then we'll get a group of people that'll go down too, and then we'll sneak off, and then we'll circle back around and scare them and listen as Jason screams like a little girl. But it is amazing to see the beauty of the stars. When you get that nice dark night and it's clear, and you can just look up and just see so many constellations, it's amazing. And think that God made all of that in 6 literal days. He just spoke it into existence. The power that God has. Yet sometimes we limit him, but he's a powerful God. Not only that, he's a loving God. He is love. I mean, he is the definition of love. For God is love. He's a loving God. He loves me individually. Going back to that personal God. He loves me. He cares about me. He is concerned about me. So I can praise him because my God loves me. Not just for God so loved the world, but God loved me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever, it's specific. When we get to heaven, the books are open and we are judged individually because God wants to talk to us one on one. Because he loves us. He cares about us. He's a loving God. Not only is He a personal God, not only is He a powerful God, not only is He a loving God, He's also a merciful God. And aren't we glad about that? Because there's a lot of things that we do where I'm sure God just shakes His head. There are times at my work where my tellers will do something and they'll be like, and I just shake my head and think, what were you thinking? Did you not think this whole thing through? We had a transaction that they did wrong. One of them did wrong, and I came back and I was showing them, and I just set it down. And I said, here's the what's going on. And she looked at it and she said, I see. You know, there's a $15,000 check. It was $15,400 and some odd. And then the payment that she applied was just $15,000 flat. She forgot the extra $415 of that check. So it went off into no man's land. And so I set it down, and she's looking at it, and I said, tell me what happened here. And she's looking at it, oh, I see what I did. And I said, yeah, but you didn't when you did the transaction, because you did it wrong. And then we had to go back and we had to correct it. And I just shake my head, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? You know, be smart about it. There are times when my kids, they do stuff, and I'm like, what possessed you to do that? Really? What if God does that? He just shakes his head and thinks, whoa, what are they doing? They should know better than that. They've been saved long enough to know. They're not rookie Christians. But He's a merciful God. His mercy endureth forever. Boy, we need that. Because there's a lot of times that I've made mistakes and I have to go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And He's a merciful God. He has saved me from hell because of His mercy. His mercy. He withholds things that I deserve because of His mercy. But what? He loves us. And we can go right on back. He is also, not only is He a merciful God, but He is also a just God. I wish in our society today we had more real justice. None of this, you know, somebody commits a crime, where he rapes an individual and they slap his hands and say, okay, you go sit in your corner for a couple of months and then you can come back out. There's no justice in that. That's not just. That is not, is the punishment is not equal to the crime. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, if somebody does something, that we should go beyond what is just. There's the scales. It's got to balance out. You know, you think about it. If you get pulled over for speeding for the first time, if you were over 5 miles and they came and said, all right, give me your driver's license, you lose your driver's license. That's not just. That's overboard. But there's got to be justice. And God is a just God. He knows exactly the punishment that we should get. But He is not just a loving God. Some people will say, oh, God is love, which is true. But they forget that God is a just God, which means He may chastise us when we need it. Why? Because He's a just God. It's not just all love. He is love, but He is also just. So there's justice that's there. He is a personal God. He is a powerful God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a just God. And I love this. He is a forgiving God. Oh, we love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What amazes me about that passage of Scripture is this. Confession and repentance are two completely different things. Repentance is I'm walking down this way and I stop and I completely change my mind and I'm going this way. I stop one thing and I completely turn around and go the opposite way. That's what repentance is. God wants us to repent of our sin. That means stop doing it. You ever get a kid that says, I'm sorry, and then he turns around and does the same thing again? And you think, okay, were you really sorry, or are you just saying that because you don't want to get in trouble? And then you'll say, if you're really sorry, I don't know how many times it's been said in my house, if you're really sorry, you'd stop doing it. But I'm, of course, right, Brian, I'm the only one that has to say that in my house, right? It's just me. That's it. Confession is admitting. I did that. When I played basketball for Brother Himmelberg, he would pull us out of a game. Didn't matter who we were. If we fouled somebody and our hand did not go up, saying that was me, then he'd be, all right, go in for Rick. And he'd sit down and say, if you're going to foul somebody, at least man up to it. And admit it. That's all it is. Confession is just saying I didn't. It's not repenting. God is such a great God that He says, I will forgive it even if you just admit it. Just admit it. You ever wonder why when God came to Adam in the cool of the day and Adam hides and he says, where are you at? And he says, I'm hiding because I was naked. And God said, who told thou that I was naked? Then He says, hast thou eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? You think God already knew? So I ask. So that He gives Adam a chance to confess. But instead, he did the blame game. Well, it's the woman that thou gavest me. It's not your fault. You gave her to me, and she kind of, gave me a wink and said, eat this, and that was that. But he at least gave him a chance to confess it. God is a just God. He is a forgiving God. He'll forgive us. Here's some. And this just scratches the surface of who God is. I mean, we're not even getting into the depths of the really strong attributes of God. This is just the bare basics of God. We're not even getting into His omniscience and omnipotence and His omnipresence and all of the other, the Trinity and everything else of who God really is. This is just the scratch the surface. But He's also a gracious God. His grace. We need His grace. Because His grace is what gives us what we don't deserve. For by grace are you saved through faith. God's a gracious God. Such an incredible, wonderful God. And He is worthy to be praised. So tonight, it is 8:18. With 12 minutes, who will be the first to say, I got something I want to praise God about? Brother John.
Well, I'm glad our God is a knowing God and a caring God. And He keeps everything planned. Because I got a bonus, and I'm pretty excited about it. You know, the bonus was double what I normally get. So I was pretty excited until I got to talk to the preacher. He told me, oh, well, we've got this new deal coming up. And it kind of knocked the wind out of my sails because I was proud that I got it. God being who He is, He pre-planned that because the amount that I got, it doubled the exact amount that we needed to make the field. Mm-hmm. And so I am grateful that he knows better than I do because he always takes care of us. And sometimes we don't see that in the moment, but he took care of us with his. And you know, just that much more that I love my God for watching out for me and taking care of me.
Isn't it amazing how he can have everything ready to go for when we go into that? And I'm sure, and I'm sure Teresa was sitting there thinking, "Well, I wonder how this is." Amen. For, you know, how's this going to happen? And God already had it all worked out. Who's next? I want to praise God. Sheila, oh, go ahead. Yep.
I haven't even been faithful all my years walking the Lord. I haven't even given the attention to the Word of God that I have. And He still, every morning, He still shows up. He still is there to be faithful to me. And I just want to praise Him because
Amen. David? Aaron, Julie?
I was thinking that of his faithfulness and how it's new every morning, but that along with that faithfulness comes his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness that we don't deserve, but he does give it to us. And you said tonight that he just forgives us. If we ask him to forgive us, he forgives us, even if we don't turn around and repent, but we do need to repent from our sins, and we do need to try not to do it again.
Yep.
I'm just thankful for, and the song I sang tonight, Living by Faith, that was song, it was really, meant a lot to me when I had cancer, and God took it away.
Amen. Yes, Teresa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Prove me. I'll pour the blessings. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And it'll be so great you can't even receive it. Well, our God is so good. We just got to take that time to really look for it. Who else? Say, hey, I got something I got to praise God. Brother Jim, let's get some men praising God. A lot of ladies raising hands. Let's get some guys.
John's a guy.
I know. He started, but then after that, we can't, wait. Let me preface one thing. Keep it short, concise, and clean. All right, go ahead.
I praise God that Jesus was human and tempted in every way. People read that verse and don't realize that means every way. That means sexually, I'm saying the word in church. That means stealing wives. We never think of that. It says he's tempted in every way that we are. I know I'm tempted sexually. I'm tempted stealing. I'm tempted lying. So he was also. And I'm glad that he understands that what I do is, and whether I fail or not, or whatever, that he understands this. And he went through it himself.
All right. Who's next? I got something I want to praise God about. Rachel. I'm going to call on people, so make sure you have something if no one's going to raise their hand. Ryan Leanna. You're welcome.
No, I just like a few things. Just the ease of mind, knowing that God's in control of everything and that his plan that is being done.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Jason Reeves.
Friends, there's never any forgiveness. I fail a lot. He'll forgive me. I'm sorry.
Amen. Andy Commander.
I know you said not to do family, but guess what? You lose because I'm going to do family. And praising God for my grandchildren, and especially for your little daughter, that we would never thought we would ever see.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing going back to something like with that. Without God has already foreseen everything. You know, just like with Lillian, he's already had everything planned out, and that's comforting to us. You know, some people we hear, you know, coworkers and such that'll say, "Oh, I feel so bad that you're going through this," and I tell them, "You know what? It's all right because God's already got everything planned out, and because of that." There's things that have been stopped from happening that could really cause permanent damage and things like that to kidneys and whatnot. And it really could have been a whole lot worse, but God was good to us and how everything came out, you know, He's taking care of us, you know, and we could look at things in a situation like that and think, but God, why would you do that? Why of all my kids that have to have something happen to them, is it my only daughter? And we could easily put everything back to God and say, you know, what's going on? But then he shows us how he's in control. And that's hard for us because, like Lisa said, we like control. I like control. I like to drive because I like control. I don't like to be a passenger. If I'm in a car and I'm a passenger, I try to go to sleep because I don't like to watch other people drive because it drives me nuts. And it scares me sometimes. Especially if you're driving with my sister. It's scary. You know? But we are. We're control. We like that control. And God shows us that He's the one that's really in control. Josh Rogers. Steven? Casey Moore. Amen. That's the hardest thing because we want to see everything in the big picture. God, let me know where I'm going to be 5, 10 years from now. What's going to happen in my life? You think of, in the world, they talk about having your 5, 10, 20 year plan all laid out so that you know where you'll be at financially and whatnot. With God, that doesn't work. Cause He can change it, shift it, turn it around. But we have to put our faith in Him to know that He knows what's going on. That's the challenge. But like you said, He's got it all worked out for us. And as our Father, you know that it's going to be something that's going to be good for us. It's just in those times where we don't know if it really is or not. There are times my kids don't like to brush their teeth, but they're going to brush their teeth. Because I'd rather pay $3 for a can of toothpaste than have to pay for dental work because of cavities and whatnot. They may not like it in that moment, but they like what comes from it. Because what comes from it is something that's positive and good for them, and they may not see that in that moment. And there are things that God allows in our lives that we may not understand it, but He's already got it worked out. It's already planned out. He's got a reason for why it is. You think of that verse, all things work together for good. But it doesn't mean that all things are good. But they piece together, to be good. All things work together. They piece it together and then eventually, in the grand scheme of it, in the end, we realize God's been good. And He is worthy to be praised. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd be with us tonight. Thank You that we can praise Your name, for You are worthy to be praised. Thank You for Your wondrous works to the children of men. Thank You for all that You do for us. Pray that You'd be with us as we go our separate ways. In Your name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.